not expected to reach 20 degrees. We'll call it at 19. The wind's out of the southwest for the rest of the afternoon at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, and temperatures will remain steady. Low tonight around 17, south winds at 5 to 10. For tomorrow, a little bit of sunshine peeking through again with a high of 25 degrees, southwest winds at 5 to 10. Tomorrow night, cloudy, near steady temperatures again as we see a bit of a warming trend. Lows in the mid-20s, southwest winds at 10 to 15. And for Saturday, a chance of flurries, mostly cloudy, and the high reaching 30 degrees. And the winds will pick up a little bit more on Saturday, too, out of the west. The extended forecast calls for a cloudy Saturday night. Well, actually, clouds sticking with us all the way through the middle of next week. There's a chance of snow that will develop Monday night and Tuesday. The low Saturday night, 13 degrees, then Sunday's high around 20, Monday in the upper 20s, mid-20s on Tuesday, and lower 20s on Wednesday. Sunday night's lows will be in the low teens, around 20 on Monday night, and back into the high single digits for lows next Tuesday night. Right now, our thermometer on the U of I campus at the University of Illinois reads 13 degrees, and it's 12:38. It is a fresh start at the Illinois State House with a tax hike on the horizon. A new session of the General Assembly began yesterday. Amanda Vinicky takes a look back at what the outgoing legislature accomplished and what's on tap for the new one.
Democrat Mike Madigan first became Speaker of the House in 1983, a record-long tenure that gives some weight to his assessment of the just-ended legislative session.
We have just finished the 96th General Assembly of the House of Representatives of the state of Illinois. The recent session of the General Assembly was among the most controversial, among the most contentious, and yes, among one of the most successful sessions in the history of this state.
And arguably one of the most historic. On the very first day of the 96th General Assembly, 2 years ago, the Illinois House voted to impeach Rod Blagojevich. Never before had a sitting governor been removed from office in Illinois. 2 years later, in the wee hours of its last day, the 96th General Assembly had all eyes on it again as Democrats pushed through one of the largest tax hikes in state history. It'll have individuals paying 67% more in the state income tax. In between Blagojevich's replacement, Governor Pat Quinn says a lot was accomplished, beginning with laws and limits inspired by his predecessor.
First time ever campaign finance reform that we got with limits, first time limits on campaign contributions and many, many more ethics pieces of legislation that dealt with a very severe integrity crisis that our state found itself confronting.
Among the highlights, changing the Constitution to allow voters to recall a governor during his term. Lawmakers also agreed to legalize video poker in bars and bumped up the tax on booze in order to pay for a statewide infrastructure program. The state's roads and bridges will get needed repairs and new schools can be built, creating construction jobs in the process. And allegations of abuse in nursing homes led to higher standards of care, like a requirement more nurses be on hand. Of course, a lot went unresolved in his inauguration speech. Senate President John Cullerton touched on one of his next priorities, changing the workers' compensation system.
Knowing that our state is at a competitive disadvantage because our workers' compensation costs are so much higher than our surrounding states, we will make it a top priority to enact cost controls that will save the business community hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's one of several issues on the agenda that are sure to anger Democrats' historical allies, labor unions, that could include wringing additional savings out of employee pensions and making changes in the classroom. Cullerton and Speaker Madigan both say Illinois needs to make it harder for teachers to go on strike and make it easier to get rid of ineffective teachers. Democrats are more apt than ever to back plans that will save the state money in an attempt to curry favor with voters after reaching deeper into their wallets. Because despite the tax hike, House Republican leader Tom Cross says the budget is still the state's overriding issue.
Do I forget about the politics? No. But I share with Governor Quinn and the Democrat leaders the fact that this state is a mess. And we obviously have different ways of approaching it, but we got to work together because I think it's so dire that, you know, if we're not careful, some bad things can happen to us financially. This state in the 1800s went into default. I mean, it's possible.
Democrats still have a power hold on all of state government, but there are now two GOP constitutional office holders, State Treasurer Dan Rutherford and Comptroller Judy Bart-Topinka. Republicans in the House did gain 6 seats, and in the Senate, the GOP now has 2 more members, enough to make Democrats lose their super majority.
I think that bodes well for them possibly talking to us and letting us be part of the solution. So that puts us in the ball game when it comes to borrowing money, because you do need a supermajority.
That's Republican Senator Dave Lechtefeld of Okwahville.
Certainly last session was not. It was kind of like you go sit in the bus, back of the bus, and we'll call you when we need you. Let's hope that's not the case this year. Again, they will make that call. They still have the majority. They still run the place.
And they'll continue to run the place for at least another 2 years. Another big issue on the horizon, redrawing legislative districts, will help determine the political landscape in Illinois for the next decade. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Today, the Obama administration is rolling out a plan that would help small companies export more. It's part of the administration's plan to double U.S. exports by 2015. NPR's Brett Neely has that story.
One of the key players in this plan is a little-known government agency. The Export-Import Bank of the United States, that's Ex-Im Bank for short, gives loan guarantees to American companies selling their goods abroad. The Ex-Im Bank plans to double its support for small businesses to $9 billion by 2015. With the help of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and several large banks, including HSBC and Wells Fargo, the Ex-Im Bank will promote its loan guarantees to small businesses across the country. Ex-Im Bank President Fred Hochberg says the program pays for itself.
We charge a fee for the loans, and the fees cover all of our administrative costs, all of our loan losses. So this is done at absolutely no cost to the taxpayer whatsoever. We're totally and completely self-sustaining.
The bank helped small businesses get $4.5 billion worth of loans in 2009, but that's less than a quarter of the $21 billion the bank supported that year. Georgetown economist Michael Cinquotas says the bank traditionally supports big companies.
It's easier to finance the sale of an airplane, let's say a Boeing jet, as one transaction than financing 50 transactions with smaller-sized firms.
With unemployment still high, the administration hopes more exports by U.S. firms will also translate into more jobs. Brett Neely, NPR News, Washington.
It's 12:45. Some media reports this week have said that gun sales have increased dramatically since the shootings in Tucson, Arizona. There are some indications that gun sales have gone up in some places, though the trend is actually modest. One part of the story may be real. Gun enthusiasts are apparently snapping up the kind of high-capacity ammunition magazines used in last weekend's shootings. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
Federal statistics indicate that the background checks conducted for gun purchases did increase on Monday, but only by 5% nationally compared with the same day last year. Kristen Rand of the Violence Policy Center says those numbers do not translate directly into the number of guns sold.
The FBI is very clear in saying that those numbers do not reflect gun sales because they incorporate a lot of other things like background checks for concealed carry holders.
Some states, like Indiana, did see a 25% jump on Monday, but there could be many reasons for that, a special offer on a new gun, for example. Don Davis of Don's Guns and Galleries in Indianapolis says he has not seen much of a rise in sales, but people are coming to his shooting range to fire their Glock 19s, the handgun Jared Loftner used.
But we've noticed a lot of young people shooting their high-capacity Glocks and seeing I think they're seeing why the guy couldn't change clips real quick, because it's really not that much of a big deal.
Davis says his customers want to see if they can reload more quickly than Loftner did. He was apparently tackled by bystanders as he tried to change ammunition. He'd already fired off 31 shots in rapid succession thanks to a special high-capacity magazine. Those ammunition magazines are flying off the shelves at Glockmeister, an Arizona store in Mesa and Phoenix. Steven Zacker is the operations manager.
Specifically, the G18 magazine, which is the 33-round, 9mm caliber magazine, we've seen well over 1,000% increase in sales on that particular item.
Zacker says gun sales have not risen at his store. He says customers say they're concerned that these high-capacity magazines will be banned, and they have some reason. Kristen Rand of the Violence Policy Center, which advocates for stronger gun laws, says her group is putting all its efforts behind getting those high-capacity magazines outlawed.
We think that the most effective thing that can be done, taking into account the current political climate, is to ban the manufacture and future transfer of high-capacity ammunition magazines like the one used in the Arizona shooting.
Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy plans to introduce a ban on high-capacity magazines as soon as next week. It will face tough odds in this Congress. The National Rifle Association, which has opposed such laws, would only say that at this time, anything other than prayers for the victims and their families would be inappropriate. On its website, the organization makes no mention of the threat of additional gun controls. Steven Zacker of Glockmeister says he thinks some buyers are grabbing onto an item that might become rare and valuable. Whatever the reason, he's very uncomfortable with the attention his store is getting.
We want a high five. We want to say, wow, our numbers are just great, and it's wonderful for business. But it's a terrible way to do well in business.
Analysts say it's much too soon to say for sure that the shooting has sparked new weapon sales, but they say, as a rule, when new restrictions are even mentioned, gun buyers tend to react quickly. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
With all things considered, you can turn your ride home into an escape, exploring a world beyond the headlines. All Things Considered finds stories you haven't heard, interesting perspectives, innovative ideas, and voices beyond the ordinary. Join us for something new and unexpected every afternoon. It's All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
Hi, Rich Warren here to let you know about a midnight special pledge event on January 22nd. I'll be playing your folk favorites and offering tickets to a dinner and intimate concert with folk singer Deborah Cowan. That's the midnight special, January 22nd on AM 580.
This is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of January, 2011. It's the birthday of Laurie Moore, the novelist, short story writer born in Glens Falls, New York, 1957. She said of her childhood there was acting and dressing up. We'd play music and write crappy songs. We'd draw and paint and fancy ourselves as artistic. It was part of being a girl in the 60s that you were creative. Went to college, graduate school, wrote the stories that became her first book, Self-Help, in 1985. Looking back, Laurie Moore said that the book had too many birds and moons and space aliens and struggling